We gather again at these refreshing waters of our baptism, gathered in the beauty and in the stillness and in the peacefulness of this place that is rightfully called sanctuary. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Wherever we go, God, you are there.
Your presence is our strength and our hope.
In the darkest moments of our lives,
the light of your love shines on our head.
From the moment of our birth to this moment right now,
you are our faithful God. Your love sustains us and your presence comforts us.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. O God, you have been with us through each and every moment of life. In the highs of life, when we have celebrated its joys, you have been there to rejoice with us. In the depths of our despair, in the moments of deepest sadness and sorrow, you are there to comfort us, to weep with us in our sorrow and sadness, to comfort us and console us. You are our companion on the journey of life, and by your grace you have brought us here to this place, to this moment in this day. God, we give you thanks that you are a faithful and a loving God, ever present, ever loving, ever blessing us on our way. So as we gather here, accept our praise and our prayers, speak into our lives through your word, and send us forth from this place into your world, to love you and to serve you, strengthened in the knowledge that you will be with us forever. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning. And a very warm welcome into the house of God. Forgive my OCD, this needs to be more centered than it is. It's really offending my eye. There, is that better? That's better. Okay, we're squared up now. Good morning. It's lovely to see everyone. A very warm welcome is extended to you, one and all. If you're visiting with us, we extend to you an especially warm welcome and invite you to join us for further fellowship through this door where Mac is just entering. If you go through that door on the other side, follow the hordes through to Ehrman Hall where refreshments will be served. I draw your attention to a number of announcements in the bulletin, and most especially what I want to say is that there will be this afternoon at 5 o'clock at De Koven a celebration in honor of the life and the memory of Adrian Paffrath. This will indeed celebrate Adrian's life, and your presence there today would be most welcome, surrounding the family with your continued love and prayers and presence And these flowers here continue to be in our sanctuary in memory and in honor of Adrian, who served this family of faith so lovingly and so well. I don't know if anyone from the Cuba Travelers wants to speak about some of the things that we're gathering. Does anyone want to speak, or are you happy for me? Oh, there's Jeff. I knew that he would volunteer. The box is still in Ehrman Hall. It's in the back of the hall. You can see it. It's full and overflowing. Don't let that put you off. The more stuff we have, the better.
So thank you for your support.
Thank you. And I think John Brooke wants to come and speak to us about the gardens surrounding the church. It's always great having John up here because he always wears the greatest ties.
We do need your help. I want to thank first, though, Steve, Dennis, and Bud for all the outside work they have done. But it's kind of getting away from us, and we spent some money out in front, and it's looking a little worn, okay? So we could use a self-propelled 21-inch or 22-inch lawnmower and a weed trimmer. We also could use 10 or 12 bags of mulch. If you got that laying around in your garage or someplace, let us know, and we'd like to put it out there to make it look better. I was saying, we have neighbors, and they don't take care of their yard very well, and I've been trying to teach them to take care of their yard better, but I'm afraid we're the bad neighbor in this neighborhood. And as I've been able to cut the grass the last 3 weeks, people have come up to me and said, oh, I'm glad to see you're taking care of this again. So we need some help. We'll put a sign-up sheet in the Ehrman Hall, and we could use your help and the flowers. We'd love to have people come in and pick the weeds. So come join us. Thank you.
Did someone ask what color of mulch? What color? Oh, the asking a whole congregation which color they prefer. I love when we make decisions by committee and everyone has a different opinion. What color of mulch? Brown? Brown mulch. Okay, there we go. So we continue to worship God after these announcements with our call and prayer of confession.
Good morning. In 1976, my friend Anna saw that I was struggling, and she threw me a lifeline by asking me to go with her to visit First Presbyterian Church of Charlottesville, Virginia, where our husbands were in law school together. And in spite of the fact that I hadn't been in church except to get married since I was 13, I decided that I would go. And I did. And I went in and I sat down and I looked at my bulletin and I saw this thing, prayer of confession. And I got kind of huffy. Who does whoever he is think he is telling me that I should confess? What does he know that I've been doing? And why does he tell me that I have to do this? You know, I thought confession was for Catholics with their priest, personally. So I read it. And as I read it, I went, that's me. Well, I can see that. That could apply to me and just about everybody. So by the time I was done reading the prayer of confession, I thought, well, this is kind of a good thing. Well, Bill and I have been members of this church for 37 years. And it is a good thing. As we say with one voice these prayers of confession, It unifies us. It strengthens us as a family of Christ with a knowledge of each other's failings and strengths and challenges and hopes. It's a good thing. Would you please join me in our prayer of confession? All-knowing, all-loving God, we come to you with confidence and open hearts. We have failed you, and yet you continue to care for us. You know us better than we know ourselves, and still you love us. When we stray, you seek us out, and there is nowhere we can go, but we are in your presence. We turn to you and find in you a loving heart that forgives us and a caring presence that follows us every day of our lives. Speak the words we long to hear, to assure us of your forgiveness, and to affirm our faith that wherever life takes us, you are there to be our companion for the journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Please be seated. And let us pray. God, we give you thanks for these beautiful words that we have sung, the words of the psalmist in Psalm 46, that you are our refuge and our strength. You are the one who is our aid in times of trouble. And although the oceans roar and the mountains shake, although the ground beneath our feet may quake, and the path ahead of us may seem unclear, we rejoice and we give thanks that you are our strength, you are our help, you are our companion in the journey, and wherever we go, there you are. God, in this may we find our comfort and our consolation, our strength and our hope. And so, God, this morning, as we continue to read from the book of Psalms, speak into our lives, we pray, the words that our hearts and our lives long to hear. And in the hearing, may we respond to your word in faith and in trust. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a question for you. If you were to describe your life in this very moment by using an emoji, what emoji would you be? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes? What emoji would you be at the moment? Sharon. Happy face. Smiley face. Looking at everyone else, I think it's just blank faces. Blank. Okay, perhaps you need some help. So if you send an emoji with this face, how are you feeling? How happy. There's a sort of happy contentedness about that face. So if you were feeling that, and you were sending a message to your friend, if you're feeling happy and contented, this might be the face that you would send. How would you be feeling if you sent a face like this? Sad. Not very happy at all. Down in the mouth. So that would be, if you were sending someone a message and you wanted to show them that you were really sad or upset, that's what you would do. So what sort of message would you be sending if you sent this face? Hungry. I don't know if you're hungry or if you're just at a lovely big piece of chocolate. I think it's got that look of, big lick of the lips, complete contentment and satisfaction. Something wonderful has just passed your lips. So if you sent an image like this, what message would you be sending? You're trying to put something over on someone. Thank you, Pat. It's a kind of cheeky, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, we're in the know about something. I think it's just a really cheeky face. It's kind of fun. Where am I going? Here. I hope none of you have this kind of face in church. Well, not at this point, but maybe at the sermon. So if you were feeling really tired, you would maybe send that face in a message. And what about... Yeah, else could go either way. You would think I would know I did these. Oh, angry, mad. If you were feeling really mad, that's the kind of image that you would send. One last one. It's relaxing, you're on the beach, everything's laid back, is bright and happy, the sun is shining, all is well with the world. You know, I have become amazed at the number of different emojis that people send, and they're usually sent in text messages. So a text message is a very short message, and you may not entirely be able to explain what you're feeling, but you put it into a face, and you can choose from just countless numbers of these images that just by this image you can convey to someone how you're feeling. Sometimes it's really hard to tell people how you're feeling. Hands up, if someone asks you, how are you doing today, you say, I'm fine, thanks. Hands up if that's your standard answer. Yeah. Most of it's almost automatic, fine, thanks. Hands up if you always feel fine. Okay. So you always say, I'm fine, thanks, but you don't always feel it. Because sometimes we find it difficult to share our emotions, to really share what we're feeling. Sometimes we find it hard to put it into words how we're feeling. Sometimes we don't even know completely how we're feeling ourselves. And these little images, these fun images, go in some way to try to explain to others how we're feeling. What is so wonderful and amazing is this, is that God knows how we're feeling. We're going to read a psalm in a couple of moments that speaks about how God has searched us and knows us inside and out. Whether we're in the heights of joy or the depths of despair, whether we're walking along a path that's filled with light and hope, or whether we're walking along the dark places of life, the psalmist says to us that God is there. And not only is God there, but even when we don't know how we're feeling ourselves, God knows. God doesn't need any of these little images to tell God how we're feeling. God knows. God knows when we're feeling bright and breezy, or when we're feeling angry or sad or happy or contented or tired or weary. God knows. And the psalmist tells us that not only does God know what we're feeling, but God understands. And I say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that we don't need to hide from God. We don't need to put on a front for God. We don't need to pretend that we're fine. That God knows and God understands us inside and out. And God still cares. Thanks be to God. So at this point in the service, I know that Ben and Catherine Neal have already made the journey down to Cuba, and hopefully they've had safe travels, that they're already there. I know that we have some other Cuba travelers in worship this morning, I would like to ask you to come forward, please, so that, that people can see who's traveling to Cuba next Saturday. Don't be shy. So we have 13 people who are going to be there all together. As I say, Ben and Catherine are already there. The Shawls, the family of the Shawls will be going, four of them. And then Jeff and Georgia and Theo and Deb and Pete and Kathy and me. I'm going to ask them just to pass the microphone along and just say very briefly, what emoji face describes how you're feeling about going to Cuba? Jeff. Oh, it made Jeff speechless. Yes.
I'm trying to think of something. Do I need this?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something creative because obviously the smiley face is the most appropriate, but it seems so easy to say that. So maybe one with the sweat because I'm anticipating 90-plus degrees and very humid. But, you know, I think we'll get used to it and accommodate it, and it'll be a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to seeing those that we saw 2 years ago in particular and catching up with them and hoping they're all well. And it's really going to be a great trip. I'm really quite excited about it. So the smiley face and maybe one with sweat, if there is such a thing.
I guess I would have a scrambled emoji, which is a combination probably of happiness, anxiety, thrill, perplexing thoughts about Cuba. And part of that is because yesterday I did get a text from Catherine and Ben indicating that when they went to check in Florida, they were questioned about some of their credentials to travel to Cuba. And they had to make a call to the pastors in Cuba to make sure that they were being invited and allowed into the country. So that sort of kind of tells you how our trip will evolve, and we're hoping and that you have prayers in mind for us and that you keep us in your prayers when we are traveling next weekend throughout the week, because we could certainly use those prayers for strength and for courage to partake in our mission. Thank you.
So, like, it's really hard to be original, but, I mean, it would be just, like, a very happy and, like, somewhat concerned because anything can go wrong. It's an interesting country. It's still underdeveloped, but it's going to be really exciting, so just really happy to be there and dive right in.
Well, I like the heat, so I'm going to have a thumbs up. I'm going to branch out. But emotionally, I kind of got the little wiggly smile with a little bit of sweat because I'm a little nervous.
Thanks. I've got three, actually, if I can do that. One of them is happy because I'm really looking forward to getting there and meeting all the people. One of them is anxiety just because... I'm kind of an anxious person anyway, so there's that. The other one is anticipation because I'm a teacher of fourth graders, and I'm going to be going down there and hopefully working with some kids. And even though I know English and they know Spanish, I'm bringing some things to work with them, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how that works.
Mine is split in half. Half of me is very, very excited about going, and the other half is pretty nervous about going. And I think if I had an emoji, I would put a palm tree on the top of it.
Thank you for sharing. If you could just stay there, I would like to invite the congregation to join me in prayer for our Cuba travelers. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that you know and understand all our emotions and all our feelings. You understand the anxieties and the butterflies in the stomach. You understand the anticipation and the excitement as we renew old friendships and make new friendships in your name and for your sake. You understand, God, that it will be hot. You understand that we are doing your work and your will as we seek to reach out to sisters and brothers in Cuba. God bless Catherine and Ben as they have traveled to Cuba. Bless them through this week as they await our arrival next Saturday. Bless each and every traveler going to Cuba. May this be a time that will enrich their lives, and may they be a blessing to the lives of others in Cuba. Grant to us, we pray, safe travels. Grant to us, we pray, that we go in your strength and in your name to share your word and your love with others. Be with us, we pray, and be with this congregation as they uphold us in prayer. And you reunite us soon, we pray, when we arrive back and when we come back to share with you and with these people the joy of our times in Cuba. God, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we go and who we seek to serve. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you. I think my emoji, if there is one, is praying hands, praying that all goes well for safe travels and for this to be an enriching experience for this family of faith, for those who travel, and for the people that we are going to serve over in Cuba. So a Sunday school teacher was speaking to her class of little children, and she was saying to them, about heaven and talking about heaven, and she said to the children, if I was really kind to animals and if I cared for other people, would that get me into heaven? And all the children said, no. So then the teacher said, well, if I sold all that I had and gave away everything that I had and I gave the money to help feed people who were hungry and poor, would that get me into heaven? And all the children said, no. So she then gave another couple of examples of, you know, what about if I served food at the food pantry and I cared for people in a homeless shelter and I did everything I could to be kind and generous and helpful, would that get me into heaven? All the children looked at her and said, no. And she said, well, boys and girls, what would I need to do to get into heaven? And one wee girl put up her hand and said, please, miss, what you would need to do to get into heaven is this. You would need to be dead. You know, sometimes I think we talk a lot about heaven. We talk about wanting to get to heaven as though somehow heaven is better than here. I don't know what heaven's like. And I think all of us only get there by the grace of God. What I do believe and understand God wants for us is to enjoy this life. This life. This moment right here, right now. Because believe it or not, it's all we've got. This very moment. It is precious, it is here, it's to be embraced, and it's to be enjoyed. You know, it used to be in the past, think of the slaves in this country in the past. The slaves used to sing of getting to heaven, in the sweet by and by, being taken up to heaven because life here was so horrific. And for many people, life here is so horrific even yet, that they long for heaven. They long for this heaven in the sweet by and by where everything's good and fine and dandy. Karl Marx is attributed with saying, religion is the opiate of the masses, or religion is the opium of the people. And in this, Karl Marx was saying, let the people have their religion. Let them have the religion that believes in a heaven that's great in the hereafter, because that means they can then put up with the horrors of what they're living through here and now. I don't believe for one minute that that's how God wants us to live. Jesus taught his disciples this prayer. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants us to live a good life here and now. So I have a question for you this morning. And this was a question that was asked of our young people on their mission trip. This was the whole theme of their mission trip for the whole week. The theme was the good life. The good life. And every morning and every evening, our young people looked at questions and at scripture that spoke about the good life, and they were posed with this question: what is the good life? What is the good life to you? What constitutes a good life? Silence. Family? Family around, yes. Money in the bank, security, yeah. Fulfillment in what you do, yeah. Do you know, wherever we look, we are told that the good life consists in having stuff. Wherever you look, advertisers are telling you that the good life is to do with having and getting and acquiring. Hands up if you believe that is the good life. No. And that's what we're trying to teach our young people, that the good life in this life right here and right now is not about what you have in your life. It's more about who you have in your life. Yes, family. Yes, friends. Yes, fellow pilgrims. But most importantly, God. God wants us to have a good life here and now. And part of that good life is comprised in knowing that in this life, every moment of every day of this life, there is a God who is seeking us out and who's wanting to be there with us and for us, no matter where life takes us. A God who knows us inside and out, whatever our emotions are, whatever our feelings. And that is the God that we worship. Not a distant, unmoved God, but a God who knows and understands us better than we know and understand ourselves. And that's the God of whom the psalmist wrote about centuries ago. And that's who the psalmist wants us to know now. That the good life is not about getting to heaven later. I leave that to God. The good life is about knowing right here, right now, we have a companion who knows us inside and out and who is with us wherever we go. Let us hear the word of God as it is found in these beautiful, beautiful words of Psalm 139. Think about the emojis and about how we try to communicate with people how we feel. How hard sometimes it is to really explain how we really, really feel. And then read these words about a God who knows us inside and out and who seeks us out wherever we go. The psalmist said, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me come night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. Amen, and thanks be to God. Isn't that a wonderful, beautiful image of God? That when we sink into the depths of darkness and despair and loss and sorrow, God's there ahead of us to lift us up, to comfort and console us, to reassure us that we are not in that darkness on our own. And in the darkness, the presence of God lights the path before us. Isn't it wonderful to know that when we rise to the heights of success and of triumph and of complete and utter joy, God is there? This passage gives us glimpses of the heaven and the hell of earth, the joy and the sorrow of life that all of us experience. And what the psalmist is saying is, wherever you go, there is God. And only God knows where we go, the heights or the depths. But God is there. There's a lovely story of Billy and Ruth Graham. You all know these names, they're household names. And you would think that their marriage was a marriage made in heaven, the great evangelist Billy Graham with his devoted wife Ruth. And there's a story that goes on the occasion of their 50th wedding anniversary that Ruth and Billy were interviewed together. And the interviewer turned to Ruth and said to her, "Ruth, you've spent all these years with this great man, but we're sure that behind the scenes there were moments where everything in the garden was not rosy." And so the interviewer said, "Ruth, did you ever consider divorcing Billy?" And Ruth thought for a moment and she said, divorce. "No, I never thought of divorcing him. Now, murder, I thought of several times." This gives a glimpse into even what appears to be the most perfect situation is not perfect. In any situation, whether it be joyous or sad, there are also glimpses of the opposite. In our moments of just unbelievable joy, they can be tinged with sadness. The joy of welcoming home a relative, the joy of time spent with children who are off at college, is tinged with the sadness of knowing that they're going to go away again and they're growing up. The joy tinged with sadness. And even in the depths of sadness and despair, and I think of Mark and his family at the moment, and I think that even in the depths of despair of your sorrow, you have had times to laugh and smile as you remember your mom. And all of us have been there. When we have sat with a dying loved one or after death and shared stories and mingled with our tears of sadness, there is joy. Joy in remembering. Joy in giving thanks. In life, our life, there is joy, there is sorrow. And they mingle together. And what this psalm is telling us is that in that, whatever is your experience in life in any given moment, God's there. Whatever you're experiencing that perhaps you cannot put into words and you cannot express with an emoji, you cannot express in any way, whatever you're feeling, God knows. God understands. We think of God as this holy and other and almighty and powerful God. And so God is. But also God is close and personal and our companion. I read an article recently in The Atlantic. It's an article about power. And you know, we're told that power does terrible things, and we see that, well, daily, if not moment by moment. Power does terrible things to people. But you know that scientists have actually discovered that power causes brain damage. Truly. Scientists have discovered this, that if you look at the brain, and those who have and amass incredible power actually suffer from some kind of brain damage. Henry Adams, centuries ago, said this, that power is like a tumor that eventually robs its victim of its ability to sympathize with others. I've seen that recently. Have you? Power causes brain damage because it robs the person of the ability to sympathize with other people, the ability to care, the ability to mirror, and that's to look into the eyes of someone else and to understand something from their point of view. The wonderful thing about God is that God is powerful, but unlike humans who amass power, God never loses the ability to understand and sympathize with God's people. Why? Because God loves us. God loves us and cares for us in the minute details of our lives, at our lying down and our rising up, when we go to the farthest ends of the earth. There is nowhere that we can escape God, because God knows us and God loves us. And that, for me, is reason to give thanks this day and reason for hope this day, that God cares and that to God our lives matter in their infinite details. There's a lovely story of a child, and I'm sure any of you who have children or grandchildren can picture this scene. It's round about Christmas, and the child has been at kindergarten, and they've made a gift. And you know what kind of gift it's going to be from a child at kindergarten. It's kind of cobbled together. It's not looking the best, but it's the best this child has to offer. The child comes running out of class, runs up the path, and mum and dad are waiting for them at the gate to the kindergarten. And the child comes up with their treasure to give to their parents. The child trips. The child falls, and the gift falls too and breaks into 100 pieces. The child cries, sobbing its heart out. And dad says, "Don't worry, it doesn't matter." And that doesn't make the child feel any better. The child is inconsolable. And the mom, the wise mom, said, "Yes, it does matter. It does matter. Because it matters to this child." Do you ever feel that in a world of 3 billion people, you don't matter? Well, God says, "Oh, yes, you do. You matter to me. You are precious to me." And this is the same God who says that wherever you go, I am there. Because you matter. I know you inside and out. And you matter to me. And I love you. My friends, wherever this week takes you, no, God is already there, because you matter to God. Amen, and thanks be to God. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Would you please greet one another in peace, and as you do, could you pass the blue friendship pads along the pew?
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah, you know, your wife made that.
That is a cool thing.
Yeah, it's it together, she started looking up all the stones. She was like, wow, that's really colorful.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Yeah. Well, we'll see you later.
So we sing our song of response. It is the insert, the little fly leaflet. Great God, of every blessing, I am sure that you will know the tune. Ushers, now please uplift the offering. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Wasn't that a great offertory piece? Come thou fount of every blessing. Oh, I always say to the musicians, and I think we are extremely blessed in, you know, with Nancy and with Mark and with Alejandro. Really, we have superb musicians, and I always say to them, that's my time to worship. Thank you for giving me a chance to worship and to lead that time so beautifully. It really is very special. Let us pray the prayers of God's people as we gather here today. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks. We thank you, God, for the beauty and the wonder of music that stirs our souls. Music old, music new, words old, words new. All of them trying to put voice to what we believe and what we understand and how we want to praise you. As a holy and powerful God, but also a God who is close to us, who knows the words that we speak before they are even formed in our minds or in our mouths. We worship you, God, for you know us when we lie down and when we wake up. And with every breath that we take, we depend upon your grace and your strength. And we enjoy your companionship. We enjoy it, God, because it reminds us that as we walk through life, with all that it brings to us of the joy and the sorrow, the heaven and the hell, the success and the failure, you are there. Thank you, God, for being our companion, for being the God who has blessed the generations that have gone before us and who now blesses this generation. Continue, we pray, to be our companion, to be our hope, but also our strength, as we seek to be faithful living out these days, in this time, in this place, throughout this history. God, may we write a history as people of faith that is a history of acting in love and in compassion for each and for all. Help us to write this chapter of this church's life so that people will remember us as a faithful and a loving and a godly people who sought to serve others both here and overseas through missions far and near and through the work and the living of our lives. Holy God, ever-present God, walk, we pray this day with all who are journeying through difficult and harrowing times. Be with those who have lost loved ones. Be with those who are struggling with addiction, with illness of body, mind, or spirit. Be with those who struggle to make it through each day because they are overwhelmed with life. God, walk with them, we pray, that they and we may have the good life, the life that is lived in your presence and lived always to your glory and your praise. And in the silence, God, we offer to you our own prayers, knowing that you know the prayers of our lives before we even whisper them. You know us and understand us inside and out. And so if our prayers are too deep for words, console us in the knowledge that you know. God of love, these are the prayers of your people, offered in faith and in trust, and offered in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Where can we go to escape the Spirit of God? If we go to the farthest ends of the earth, if we go to North Racine or West Racine, to Burlington, to Union Grove, to Cuba, to wherever we go in the presence and in the peace of God. So now go in God's presence and know that the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you this day and through all of your days, and that these blessings are upon you and upon all God's people everywhere, this day, tomorrow, and into all our other days, unto eternity. Amen. Jesus Christ be with each and every one of you.